All right, what's going on, boys and girls, and Lennox gamers and gals? I'm here with the Lennox gamer from YouTube, and this is a legit face-to-face. This is not something that happens very often in the world of the internet.
Especially not in the world of Lennox gaming.
How many people would, for those that would want to know, we're both from the same state.
Yeah.
I found out where he was from. I was coming home to make a trip home anyway. Why wouldn't I make the time for this? I mean, come on. One of the biggest Lennox gaming related stuff on YouTube and, you know, gaming alike just makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
I'm glad that you invited me on. This is an awesome opportunity. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate making the time. I know the trip from where you're from wasn't exactly short, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a small state.
No. For those that want to know, when it takes 6 hours, regardless of where you go, to get across the state.
Yeah.
So if you're going from southern to Nova Scotia or up to Caribou.
Or just the next town over.
It's only if you're from the county.
Right.
And this is all regional stuff that will make no sense to you guys, but it's funny to us.
It's funny to me. I think it's great.
Because only people from the state, and when you move away from it and you find and talk to people about it, it is funny as crap. Because I ran another gaming website at one time, and three of the people that were in on my editorial team were from me, but they had moved away. So, but like all the regional jokes, they got.
Yeah.
So, for those that don't know you, why don't you give an introduction about what your YouTube channel is actually about and whatnot?
So. Sure. So my name's Gardner. I run the YouTube channel, The Lennox Gamer. I basically talk about Linux games. I give reviews of games. I do explanatory videos every now and then and offer my opinion on gaming and Linux-related subjects, I guess you would say. I like to keep it ambiguous, keep it fun, lighthearted. I do lots of little comedy sketches as well at the beginning of my reviews just to pique people's interest, I think.
I was going
to
say, I did notice that one on the new Warhammer 40K, where you strapped a graphics card to your face.
That's right. Yeah.
How old was that graphics card, just out of curiosity?
That was a graphics card that my friend Peter gave me. I think it was a GTX 66... Or no, I'm sorry. It was a 6600 GT. That was one of the old GeForce graphics cards. My friend Peter just gave it to me. And you didn't see it, but my patrons actually get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes videos every now and then. And I actually made a video where I was strapping it to my face and like running the tape around my head. It was probably one of the funnier videos I've ever made.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was gonna say, I should send you my old Maxwell architecture 460 GTX that I have. They're still kicking around. For those that want to know, I make my Linux hardware grow a long time.
Yeah.
But people know who I am, so it's kind of redundant for me to say this, but, you know. I wanted to take this opportunity for a face-to-face because they are so infrequent and they are very rare for online stuff. You know, even if it was somebody that was, you know, a couple of states away, it's usually something that never happens. So the fact that this opportunity came up, you can be very skippy. I'm going to make that opportunity happen.
Yeah.
So, again, I appreciate the time that you took to do this. So.
Again, I appreciate you inviting me on the podcast, man. It's great.
Yeah. So, now that the pleasantries are out of the way, let's get into some debates. But part of the course, currently, one of the things we do is, what are you playing currently? Being that you're a Linux, the Linux gamer, we have to ask what you're playing on Linux.
Yes. So currently I am playing the hell out of Mad Max. It just came out, and I'm actually playing it for the review that I'm doing this upcoming Tuesday. This might go out a little later than that. I'm also playing, I did a review of it a couple weeks ago, and it's still one of my favorites, Cluster Truck. It's such a good, just a solid game. The mechanics are so well polished, and they're really good.
I was going to say, for some reason, it's just like, I can't keep up Then again, those in the community already know that I'm unfortunately the practical host here, that I play in all OSs. I tend to be agnostic, neutral in my technology. But when I'm on Linux, it's just like, I can't keep up with my games. I find that problem with the other OSs too.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I've been playing Divinity Original Sin because I want to get up for Divinity 2. Mm-hmm. You know, then it's just like, oh, hey, look, Tyranny's coming out. I want to play Pillars so I can get that feel again. And so it's just like, then you got, you know, Deus Ex coming out November 3rd, yes. FYI. Thank you, Feral.
I'm very excited for Deus Ex.
So, Mad Max, I'm waiting. For me, I think that's more of a wait and see one. Feral did that, correct?
Was that Deus Ex?
No.
Mad Max. Yeah, did that too.
Because
yeah.
I wasn't. I know VP has been. Yes, we talk rappers. Oh God. I know VP has been fairly heavy in the Linux ports too.
Yeah. So. They haven't done one recently, have they?
I think they have some experimental ones. I know they were working on it. There was something on the site currently that had like a VP. Like VP was the one in charge of like working on the experimental port for it.
But, okay.
But not the same way you would expect for like Feral or Aspire or any of those guys where right. they're like, okay, this is our port and this is what we're doing with it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but for me, I want to say probably right now I am probably like on my like fifth playthrough of Pillars of Eternity. For why, I don't know. I think it's the character creation. That's probably just my shtick, but I am unfortunately a gamer from the CRPG era of the 90s. Right. So I remember the Baldur's Gates and the Fallout and Fallout 2 and all this stuff. So
yeah,
unfortunately, nostalgia had bites me in the butt. The games look prettier now, at least it's not all sprites. So okay, so that's that. We gave you our opinion on some news about, you know, new games coming out. Let's get into a topic that is something that doesn't really get discussed much. Steam machines are essentially what we're going to be talking about.
Yes.
But this boils over into a bigger Linux gaming... Linux has a gaming platform, almost.
Yeah.
It is not always looked upon fondly. I think it's a mentality thing, honestly. Because right now, the way I view Steam machines are... They are a PC playing a console. Currently, consoles play as PCs. The architecture is AMD. The only one that's out of left field is the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
And that's running on that technically Tegra is open source, so...
I don't know about that, but...
okay. They at least provide the implementation for blueprints and all that stuff, unlike what they do with the Nuevo project.
Right.
Where they're just like, have fun.
Yeah.
This is why we don't game with the Nuevo drivers. And if you do,
yeah,
more power to you.
Right. All right, have fun, Stallman.
Not touching that.
Not going there.
Okay, anyway. So, look at Linux in the terms of a console as opposed to a PC. Or, you know, because let's be legit, the OS is a personal choice. So it's technically a PC. And yes, Mac and Windows and BSD and Solaris and every version of theirs, it counts in their eyes. What is your take on like Steam machines and Steam OS and like Linux as a gaming platform in general?
Well, I mean, I think that SteamOS is pretty solid from my usage of it. I have a Core i7 processor in my Steam machine that I kind of built myself. I inherited hardware. You've probably seen the video. But one of my friends on Twitter, Amaril, he sent me the GTX 750. Which has a gig of RAM. I put that in there, and it's just been an amazing machine since then. That's what I've been playing Mad Max on, actually, for my review. So SteamOS and the Steam Machines platform is almost everything that I want from a consoleized PC. Whereas, you know, you have the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, they're like PC-ized consoles, if that makes any sense. And there's a delineation there, at least to me.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a legitimate way to think of it, because if you look at it, in theory, what you can do with a Steam machine, you could, in theory, look for what they're doing with the Xbox Scorpio and Xbox, you know, S1 or whatever the heck they're calling it, PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah.
What do PC gamers do? Upgrade.
Yeah.
What are those? Incremental, like, 2 or 3 year upgrades.
Right.
How often do PC gamers update their graphics card? Like, if you have top of the line, every 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Until you can no longer get alternate specs and you become the recommended specs. That is when you upgrade your video card.
Yeah. Yep.
I tend to agree with you that I think consoles have been PC, gone the more PC, the, you know, computer, personal computing route. I mean, look at what they do. I mean, they play video games. How many of them have web browsers? How many? It's essentially, you've crammed all the functionality and stuff that, like, we use, like, media, they're closed box media consumption devices.
Yeah.
The nice thing with Steam machines, if I want to, for whatever reason, I can be like, I'm going to drop into GNOME Shell and just be like, hey,
yeah,
why you're going to run into GNOME Shell 3, like, 04 or whatever, the version of Steam's running on.
Yeah.
But the fact you can do that, you can install it, like, if you want to run OBS and you want to, you know, you don't want to use the built-in Steam tools, you know, for broadcasting and all that stuff, that option's there. You can run OBS, you can run, you know, run your Steam machine, tell it to capture, for OBS to capture all that. You can do your editing and, okay.
Hypothetically.
This is all hypothetical, but what I'm saying is,
yeah,
you can make it whatever you want.
Right.
So if you want it as a production, like if you look at it, a production machine, in your case, that would make sense almost, because you could do all your video game stuff on one of, here's my one box.
I mean, for me, I use SteamOS the way Valve intended, as a singularly gaming platform. I have a dedicated rig that I only use for gaming. I found that if you put any other repos on the, like, the Debian side of SteamOS, then it doesn't like it very much.
Gotcha.
You're always ending up with like, operating system upgrades or whatever. What the heck is it?
PPAs.
Well, yeah. You put in a PPA or whatever, and it ends up, like, in SteamOS, it says there's a new upgrade for you. So you have to restart your PC constantly. But it's, you know, what I like about SteamOS is that it is an open platform. Like, you can go in and change the inner workings if you want. I actually put, what is that? RetroArch? I put RetroArch on my Steam machine,
yeah,
and that was pretty cool. I'll tell you what, that was interesting.
I was gonna say that essentially, yeah, I think it was like KD1 or something, yeah, or something, whatever. It essentially what it boils down to being, and I'm just gonna say congrats to KD for 20 years, by the way.
Yeah,
it's crazy. But no, to your point though, you do make a very valid point about the whole concept of a console is, I hate to, and this is what annoys Linux users, is to be idiot-proof.
Yeah.
I want to plop a disk in, I want to hit play, and it just plays.
Right.
It's an appliance. You might not like hearing that, but that is simply the fact of what Valve is making. They're like, Steam machines are one, they might do media, you know, besides, you know, they might do music and movies and all the other stuff. Their first and foremost function is what? Video games.
Right.
So it's a video game appliance with some added extra features. Like, hey, same thing with a PS4 or an Xbox One. First through, oh, okay. Well, if depending on the original version of the Xbox One you're looking at, they all focus on games.
Yeah.
So, and everything else is secondary.
Right.
But Steam, like, the nice open nature of it is you can make it what you want for the most part. If you want it to be the idiot appliance, go ahead.
Yeah. But, that's what I want to use it for, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'll get flack for saying it, but I'm a console gamer.
Yeah.
I grew up playing, you know, Nintendo, and I had a Game Boy. I still have a Wii. I don't use it. And I have a 3DS, right? Which I play a lot, actually, mm-hmm. because Nintendo, you can't beat Nintendo's mobile hardware. It's awesome.
This is the Vita, great hardware.
Yeah.
Sony doesn't support it for jack.
Right.
What does Nintendo do? Not the most powerful hardware.
Right.
But they support the heck out of it.
Yeah. So, with great first-party titles. The thing is, for me, right, is before I was playing, I never was a PC gamer, really. You know, like, when I was a kid, my cousin was a PC gamer, and there were a lot of great PC games, but I never had the means to get great PC hardware to play a game. So I was always playing on consoles,
mm-hmm.
you know, up until, and that's what I think allowed me to make the switch to Linux initially,
mm-hmm.
because I used Windows up until probably, I think it was around the time of Fedora 7.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah, like, I switched over.
Do know there are 25 right now. So
yeah.
For the people that don't understand or are, I don't want to say millennials, but that is a long time.
Yeah. So I think I switched around Fedora 7 or 8, something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't care for Fedora much. And then I heard about this new thing called Ubuntu.
I was going to say, it seems to be an ongoing thing with RPM disk. Oh, I'm not going to finish that.
But yeah, so I think a lot of my PC gaming friends were like, what are you doing? You're giving up PC gaming. You're going to become a Linux gamer. They don't have games on Linux. I'm not a gamer, a PC gamer. I'm a console gamer. So all the games that I was used to playing were on console. And I did all my computing on my computer and all my gaming on my console.
Yeah.
What really got me into PC gaming was the Humble Indie Bundles. That's what brought me into the PC gaming world. And to be honest, I had gotten fatigued of all of the AAA games that were coming out for consoles. And I was like, I don't want to play a first-person shooter with an analog stick. That doesn't make any sense. So it was around the time that Braid was really popular on the Xbox Live Arcade. And I was like, all right. This is cool because around that time it came out for Linux on the Humble Bundle,
yeah.
And I was like, "All right, here we go. This is where I start to pick up gaming on PC," and then my brother turned me on to Steam, and I was like, "All right, I can do this, right?" But then I understood. I kind of got when Valve announced what the Steam machines were. I got it. I was like, "Yes, I like this idea. This is a good idea," and I got on board. I said, "It's come full circle, right?" I started out as a console gamer, and now Valve is creating a Linux platform for console PC gaming, if you will.
No, and yeah, see, I'm like you. I grew up Atari 2600.
Yeah.
So, like, long span.
Yeah.
I've even owned a few odds and ends, like, things that people wouldn't even understand. Bandai Namco or Namkai Band, whatever it is now, Playdia. Asia only.
Yeah.
Or I think I had Wonderswan Color.
Yeah. Holy crap.
I had Atari Jaguar CD. Like I had, like I went on my retro console binge.
Yeah.
And so, console gamer ever since. PC gaming on and off. Like,
yeah.
You know, I still remember Mandrake. So, like, we're talking 99.
Yeah.
I still remember running that on a Wintel computer with 32 megs of RAM and a 333 processor and 2 gig hard drive.
Oh, my God.
You want to talk about slow.
Yeah.
And try it. And spending almost 3 weeks trying to get your modem to work.
Oh, my God.
That was one of the fun times. So, people who complain about driver support, until you build your own... I don't want to hear it.
Build your own driver.
Yeah.
From scratch.
Basically, at that time, it was what you had to do.
Like, yeah.
You would take what some people started with and you know, try to make it work.
Right.
But anyway, my point is, I understand where you're coming from with that, because it is very a full circle thing, because PC gaming, like, what it is, as it is right now, I'm not talking Steam machines, there's a reason there's the quote-unquote master race.
Yeah.
And I think that's a load of baloney.
Yeah.
I like poking fun at it. I like making, you know, jokes about it. Like, haha, console gamers can't get, you know, 60 FPS on a game because it runs at 900p at 30 frames a second. Right. Which we'll get into at another point. But for me, there's a thing where there's an experience you're paying for, I think, with a PC. This is my take on it, is you're paying for how you want that experience to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great thing to have. We're starting to somewhat see that with the consoles and their reiterations of, like, and like Sony's new thing was with the Pro. You could choose between, I think, faster frame rates or better looking scenes or better resolution or something.
Yeah.
But you were locked at a lower frame rate. Whatever. But it's something like that that's giving console gamers what, let's be honest, people at the PC, that was their shtick.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter if you were Linux, Windows, Mac, that was always the shtick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is it's like, I don't think there is a better versus worse kind of thing, but I think that where consoles are going to, because when I say I'm a console gamer, I mean, like, you put the cartridge in the thing and it doesn't work, you take it out and blow on it, right, and put it back in. That's a console gamer to me, right? Yeah. And when it comes to, like, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, like, there isn't much difference. There's no competition, you know. Right. Like, the reason that Sonic had different sounding music than Mario was because they had fundamentally different hardware architecture.
Yeah.
And that, like, the debate between Sega versus Nintendo, which we'll get into later, yeah, it's kind of there was an actual reason for that. And now we're at this point where we're like, oh, our consoles are virtually the same as PCs, but they're locked down and you don't have choice, you don't own your hardware, like, I think that where we're at right now is a better place with PC gaming than with console gaming, you know?
I very much agree. Valve has not given me a reason not to trust them, thus far.
Mm.
I'm not saying that they won't.
Right.
Currently, I have not been given a reason. So, as an example, I have Neverwinter Nights 2, I think, Platinum. It's not available on Steam anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can still download it any time.
Right.
Until they make it, when a game goes away out of their database and I can't play it after I've paid for it.
Yeah.
That is when I'm going to start looking elsewhere.
Right.
That's what GOG, that is what all the other alternatives are for.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, even Origin and you play. sorry.
I think that's part of the strength of SteamOS, though, right? Yeah. Is that Valve has this credibility in the digital, you know, retail space, where they have, you know, they're people trust them,
yeah,
you know, and the reason that they're building it on top of Linux, and the reason you can still access the GNOME desktop, is because if, for example, Valve decides, oh yeah, your copy of that game you bought 10 years ago, right around the launch of Steam, they removed that. Well, you don't have it anymore. You can go and download GOG games or Humble Indie Bundle games and play them on SteamOS.
Yeah.
You know, like, I had an experience once, I can't remember what game it was, but where the game was on Xbox Live Arcade, I bought a copy of it, and then it was removed, and I couldn't download it again. So if I think it was actually, it wasn't a game, it was DLC for Rock Band.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
it stopped supporting it.
Right, so they removed the license ran out or something for whatever track, and then they sent me an email like, if you deleted this before, you better download it before November 1st or whatever, yeah, else you're never going to get a copy of it again. I paid you money for that. You know, you shouldn't be able to just yank it down. So until that happens, I mean, I think I'm going to trust Valve for this kind of when it comes to digital retail, yeah, anyway.
Now there are, I'm not going to lie, the marketplace in Steam does have its issues.
Yes.
But any marketplace, though, Amazon has its issues, eBay has its, like, any open market has issues. I mean, if you want to, some would say that Steam is the Craigslist of video games right now. I wouldn't go that far, personally, but...
Yeah,
I would say it's probably more of an Amazon or an eBay where there is some type of protections and filters now, whereas, yeah, originally before there wasn't. Mm-hmm. But could they do better? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Valve could do a lot better.
But for this to be a console experience, though, and that's what Valve is pushing, I think is the biggest thing for all of it. And we are at a point where, I don't know about you, I value my time.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love hardware, I give me the latest AMD or i7 or what, you know, FX or i7 or whatever processor, what's the newest spec, and you know, what's the cache latency on RAM, and, you know, give me all the specs and all that jazz. I love it. I understand it. It's great. I just don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I am to the point, I never would have been buy a pre-built machine. If it's my gaming rig, I will probably never buy pre-built because I have a certain expectation of my gaming.
Yeah.
Perk of PC gaming.
Right.
But on the same note, there's currently a site selling a Steam machine. Secondary, it would be a console essentially for me. It's the Steam OS version. And Steam controller with it. It's a refurb. $300.
Mm-hmm.
What's a PS3, yeah, a PS4, and what's a Xbox One cost?
Yeah, I was in GameStop earlier, and they're like $200, $300 or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, why wouldn't I look at a Steam machine in that case?
Right, and when your Steam library carries over.
Yeah, because it's like, and there is one thing about this that really annoys me, though. When I do, from the PC of the Windows Mac side,
mm-hmm,
is Linux doesn't have games. Or console gamers, the one saying, oh, Linux doesn't have games. here's my take on that one. How come when I go to the PlayStation Store or Xbox Live, how many games do they have? I fire up Steam, I go to the Linux side, and I'm like, hey, look, how many consoles in 4 years since Steam launched in late 2000, early 2013? So three and a half years. How many consoles can say they have 2,500 games?
Yeah, they can't.
And if you already bought them on other platforms, you own them on that platform.
Yep.
Novel idea. I'm like Sony, who makes you keep rebuying the same game 7 times.
And Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is... There is a... I don't think the Steam machines in and of themselves get enough credit. For what they are.
Yeah.
And... Yes, as hardcore PC people, yes, you will see them as a dumbing down of what PC gaming is. That's an elitist thing. This is I almost see it as like an open source thing. It's like,
yeah,
it's almost like a Lattice Torvalds thing, where it's just like everybody's a bunch of idiots because they're not as technical.
Right.
Yes and no.
If you're the kind of PC gamer who cares about getting, you know, matching exactly the refresh rate of your monitor, you know, probably you probably won't want to use a Steam machine. But I'm the kind of guy who gives a crap about having fun before I care about what the frame rate is.
Yeah.
You know, if a game runs at between 35 and 45 FPS, I can't even tell the difference anymore. And, you know, I know some people that they're like, oh, well, you can feel the difference. Yeah. Sometimes I can, if it depends on the game. But more or less, if a game is running over 45 frames a second, I don't care what it's running at, you know? It's about having fun. That's what gaming is about.
Gameplay.
Oh, yeah, right. Because
What do we do with video games? They're a game.
Yeah.
And we play them.
Right.
If you have crappy gameplay,
yeah,
it's probably going to be a crappy game.
Right. And if it's, you know, if you end up with, like, if you end up game fight, that's not really what gaming is about.
And this whole, we'll get into that aspect in the video that we will be doing.
Yeah, the video that's going up on my YouTube channel. Yep. We're gonna cross promote this.
This will be a cross promotion of two different topics.
Yeah.
But I think if people need to come to a better mindset with what Steam OS is and what Steam machines are intended to be. They are intended to be an appliance.
Right.
It is Valve taking essentially taking PlayStation Store or Xbox Live, cramming it into some certified hardware, quote unquote, that people can use the Steam OS logo and all that jazz on, and just selling it.
Yeah.
And accessing their online features, which is, oh, hey, look, it's movies, it's Netflix, it's video games, and it just happens to run on top of Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Newsflash, the PS3's OS ran on free BSD.
Yeah.
New one does too.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, what should Valve's approach for making Steam machines be? I mean, should they take a more Google approach and have like a Nexus or a Pixel branded device now?
Well, the thing is, if you go that route though, according to the way Google's doing the Pixels though, that is the only way they're doing phones. Like, they're Google-branded phones.
Right.
So, that will... Whereas the Nexus Lite was, like, kind of... We picked this manufacturer, and this is what we expect a normal manufacturer to do with the phone. I think they have taken that approach somewhat. Like, if you look at... was it Alienware Alpha?
I think they were calling it the Steam Machine.
Yeah.
The Alienware Steam Machine.
Yeah. I know they had the Alpha, which was like a Windows 8.1, and they had like an Alienware or whatever. There was no difference other than the OS.
Right, yeah.
Then you had, I think, the CyberPower Cybras, which to me actually looked probably the most interesting from an aesthetics point of view.
Mm-hmm.
First-gen hardware, not so much.
Yeah.
When you're giving me a 4-core AMD Athlon, no thank you. At $500.
Yeah.
But that's more of a longevity thing, because I don't want to upgrade stuff. So, you know. I don't know what Valve's approach should be, honestly. I think they need to do more than they're doing, I think. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how and why and what. You know, some people say they don't do anything with SteamOS, and, you know, that's relative.
Yeah. I from my perspective, I think Valve needs to take a more hands-on approach, honestly. I think that they should probably end up doing basically what Google's doing with the Pixel phones. They should have their, like, the standard. You know, they should set the tone. And if third-party hardware manufacturers don't want to get on board, so be it. You know, I think... If they want to take the console route and if they really want to embrace that concept, then they should probably be, they should probably not half-ass it, you know? Because right now, there's a lot of options and the prices, like, are ridiculously varied. And it's confusing to people who I would think Steam machines would be targeted.
And I think this is where... More of a company like Alienware has probably done better than most of the other companies that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Most of their iterations, while they have iterations, but they go, you know, 1, 2, and 3. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an i3, i5, and i7.
Yeah.
You might get some more RAM, might get a bigger hard drive as you go up in price.
Yeah.
Graphics card, like all the other internals basically stay the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that would probably be the approach that if Valve does take, it should be something like that, where there's like, here's the set of certified hardware,
mm-hmm.
and just, this is how we like it built, this is the price points we're looking at,
yeah,
figure it out.
Right. And personally, I think that would be the best way to do it, because if Valve continue with what they're doing right now, I don't see Steam machines going very far.
No, because you can essentially, what's the point of owning a Steam machine if all you really need to do is take a, I don't want to call them thin and lights, like smaller desktop computers, mm-hmm. and essentially just have Steam boot up in Big Picture Mode to start.
Yeah.
The OS doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, you can run Windows, you can run Linux, you can run Mac OS, whatever. Or, sorry, Mac OS right now. But I think, honestly, if they want Steam OS in and of itself to succeed, they need to take a more active approach with how they use it and promote it. And as much as the Valve has said they're against exclusivity, they might need to look at that.
Yeah.
Look how many people bought Half-Life 2, even though the headache of Steam at the time, and they still went through it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was it, like 10 million copies or some crap? And it was like some stupid amount.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
And, you know, like, that's a great point. I had never really considered that. I mean, that's the only way you could have played Half-Life 2 at the time.
Yeah.
What you had to install Steam. And Valve needs to take a similar approach where, you know, if you want to play Half-Life 3 or even Left 4 Dead 3 or something, Valve should require you to play the game at least for a limited amount of time on SteamOS or Linux. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's a great point. I totally agree with that.
So, you know, because that's always been my thing. It's like, well, you couldn't play Half-Life 2 without installing Steam.
Right.
And you couldn't play Counter-Strike without installing Steam.
Right.
And one of the most two popular games besides Team Fortress, Counter-Strike and Half-Life.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I'm leaving Dota out because that's a different beast in and of itself.
Right.
But, you know, I think that's probably the way they might have to go. Or, I don't want to say exclusivity based on OS so much, but like an exclusivity, some way that promotes, I guess, the developer of Valve, like in and of itself, eating its own dog food, essentially. Yeah.
Well, in promoting confidence in the platform, that with Valve saying you have to play this game on this system
if you want the best. You know,
right?
If they want to sell it as a PC game, like to the hardcore PC gamer, because let's be honest, a lot of the Half-Life people are going to be that.
Yeah,
you're going to want to say, well, if you want the best experience, you want, you know, 60, 200, whatever FPS a second. You know, you want your frames to match your sync on your monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to have to play on Linux.
Yeah. I think that would show like real confidence in the platform by the biggest company that's promoting desktop usage of Linux. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. So, those are some of the things that we both think that Valve needs to address. Let's put it that way. And I think, you know, while we see things differently, I think a little bit on the problem, maybe because of mind frame on PC gaming, I do understand the mind frame. And I think that's what a lot of other hardcore PC, Linux, Windows, or whatever users don't understand about Steam machines is. It's not a dumbing down. It's simply a looking at PC gaming for potentially a bigger market.
Mm-hmm.
And does that mean by having pre-configured systems? Because, I mean, let's be honest. How long has Dell been around with pre-configured gaming rigs? How long has HP... I mean, HP bought Omen, and Dell bought Alienware, and you have Falcon Northwest. And
mm-hmm. How many of your console gaming friends are going to want to or know how to build their own PC?
I was going to say, and most of them think it's like... And there's a lot of the problems with PC gaming is now, building your own rig is not hard, mm-hmm. not especially nowadays.
Right.
You need essentially six parts.
Right. But how many people know how to assemble it?
I was going to say, that's the thing. It's like, but my point was that there's this mythological, like, roadblock to it.
Yeah.
Valve is trying to erase the roadblock.
Right.
And I think if people understand that, they'll get where Steam OS fits in.
Yes. Exactly.
And I think that's the problem Valve is having right now with SteamOS, though, is because I don't think they understand that.
Right. No, and I think that, they were rightfully launching SteamOS as a means of bringing people to Linux, right? Because Windows and the way that Windows is going is a threat to their business model. Yeah. But I don't know if they are where we're at when it comes to who they should be marketing the Steam machines to.
Marketing is their biggest problem right now.
Yeah, marketing has always been Valve's biggest problem.
No, I thought that was shipping on time.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because they were so often Blizzard about shipping a game on time.
Right.
Like, how long was the Titan MMO in production? Or StarCraft Ghost?
That never happened.
I know. Too bad. Only reason I ever bought a GameCube. Because it was supposed to come out, never did. But that is... Valve's got some serious problems to look at, I think. And if they take the right mindset, they can probably get to it. But so, while I think, again, we have different positions as far as mentality, I think we're in agreement for the most part that Steam machines do have a place in the PC market.
Yeah.
And it's just approaching it with the right mentality.
Right.
So, what do you guys think, though? That is really the question, because I got a distinct feeling there's going to be some wide and varied opinions among the gaming online community on this one.
I think we just kicked the beehive.
Whoever the beards are, put the queens back in the nest, please. Make the beehive go away.
Yeah.
But, so that's all for this episode, guys. Again, what is your take? Are we wrong? Are we right? Well, you guys got comments? Use them. You guys know it's the internet. We've learned how to troll people by now.
If you think I'm an idiot, tweet at me at the Linux Gamer and tell me just how stupid you think I am.
Done it. But no, in all seriousness, comment on the show notes below this. They won't be long, obviously, with the type of show this was. What are your thoughts on Steam machines? Good, bad, indifferent? Do they have a place in the market as a console, as a PC, as whatever they may be? What's your take on it?